Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 859. It's the 30th of August 2017. On the podcast today, I have Dan Betts, CEO of Hummingbird Resources, HUM ticker, and Dan discusses the start of mining operations at the Yanfolila Gold Project in Mali. Plus, I also have Graham Swindell, Finance Director at Clough Natural Resources, that's CLNR ticker, and Graham talks about their current licenses in the southern North Sea, potential farmouts, and other investment opportunities. I also have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dan Betts, CEO of Hummingbird Resources at HUM ticker. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin. Good to speak to you again.
Now, you've hit a bit of a milestone, and we'll cover that in a bit. But before we get to the news, for people listening right now, Dan, and not sure what Hummingbird is all about, could you give them a brief summary, please?
Yeah, sure. Hummingbird is a gold development company. We've got an asset in Mali and Liberia in West Africa, and we're currently bringing our mine in Mali towards production, and it's imminently going to start producing.
Yes, and that's the headline of the news. Mining operations commence at Yanfolila. Is that how I pronounce it, Yanfolila? Is that right?
No, that's right, Justin. Yanfolila is the name of the mine in Mali, and at the weekend, our mining fleet that is managed by a company called AMS commenced the mining operations on the Kamanaris pit, the first pit to be mined. So it's a huge milestone for the company.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the figures here, and it's quite compelling. Now, I'm looking at you as a current market cap of £123 million. So that's, put that into context here, and you're saying the process plant, you're forecast to produce 132,000 ounces of gold in its first full year, life of mine, all in sustaining costs of $695 per ounce. So I know your average you're looking at over the life of the mine is 107,000 ounces. And so I've just got a calculator out. And so looking at, basing the gold price on $1,300, and then you're clearing there about, what, $600? And so times that by 107,000, and I've worked that out to be $64.2 million of profit. Is that right? Or free cash flow there almost?
Well, it's better than that, Justin, actually. I mean, the average life of mine figure you've quoted there for production, I'm fairly confident we'll be able to upgrade and increase as we get into production. So if you work on next year's figures of 130,000 ounces at 1250 gold, we'll be clearing more like 75 million free cash. And obviously, gold price is quite topical at the moment. And every $10 is an extra $1.3 million on the bottom line based on that simple matrix. So, you know, the weekend alone was worth $5 million to our bottom line. And, you know, Hummingbird, the shares have started to re-rate, I'd say, in the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, we're still trading on under 2x next year's earnings for a company that's imminently about to be in cash flow. So I'd say it's extremely well-positioned for it. Yeah,
absolutely. And I was looking at the share prices, trading in a range it was for a while, between 28 pence and sort of 23, 22 pence. But like you say, it recently broke up via that 28 pence roof or ceiling, and now it's at 36 pence. But like you say, you know, based on those earnings, still, you know, a good value. And especially, you know, I always say everyone should have a bit of gold in their portfolio, a gold producer, not just explorers. But and you've gone into that now. So it's, yeah, the thing that annoys me, Dan, right, is that it's almost like the best time to buy a gold stock, isn't it, when, you know, the gold price is a bit low, because you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a worry around the world as a recession or some kind of thing that's going on right now with North Korea and America, and gold is going to re-rate. And it always happens. And yet then, all of a sudden, when the gold price does go up, people start jumping into shares, don't they? And it's almost like, go on, carry on.
It annoys you, it annoys me. But the truth is, Justin, it's a long-term game. I mean, it takes years to develop a feasibility study and then build a mine. And I mean, actually, the best time to buy a gold mine is right now for Hummingbird, because all that risk for financing and construction is off the table. You know, we've been actually building this plant at this mine site for the last 14 months. I mean, so if you'd bought it 14 months ago, you'd have sat there waiting, as you said, while the shares were range bound. And it's only now that people start to realize that, wow, you know, this actually is going to happen, that the market starts to price that in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so, how long? What's the life of the mine here, Dan?
So, well, it's a good question. The life of the mine, based on the feasibility studies, is 7 years, but that only includes the reserves that were included in the feasibility study. And unlike most companies, where they say we've got lots of exploration potential to increase our mine life, we already have the gold. We have the resources. We have over 1 million ounces of resources outside of the mine plan. And the mine plan was done at 1,100 gold. So at 1,300 gold, we can, you know, once we get into production, we can rerun our mine plans and our pit optimizations. And there's an awful lot more gold already existing to increase the mine life. And of course, there's exploration potential and lots of other opportunities. So I'm extremely confident that over the next couple of years, the best way Hummingbird will re-rate and add extra value is by showing there is more gold and the mine life isn't 7 years, it will go on for many years beyond that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And so apart from the news you just released, what's the next sort of big milestone you're hoping to achieve there, Dan?
Well, I mean, it's pretty frenetic activity at the moment. There's 800 people on site and it's all systems go. And I guess over the next 3 months, there's a lot of news about the completion of various parts of the project. But the next major news is probably the commissioning of the plant, which is a multi-stage process. You know, you have to check all the different components and then you check that they work. You know, you call cold commissioning, you put water through the plant, you check all the pumps and the pipes work. And then the big bit obviously is putting ore into the plant, you know, hot commissioning it's called. And then that's really the beginning of you producing gold. Few days or a couple of weeks later, you're pouring gold.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Okay, Dan, well, listen, if anyone's hearing you here, liking this story and liking where you're going, going to be a gold producer with a heck of a lot of free cash flow happening there, and they're not following you yet on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, in the UK market, certainly, I couldn't speak globally, but in the UK market, we're the only company that is imminently about to turn on a gold mine. There's no funding requirements. We're unleveraged to debt. There's a lot of free cash flow, as you say. And the main thing is it's happening right now, and it's, you know, gold's a topical subject right now. The timing's looking pretty good.
Dan, good to speak to you, and hopefully we'll chat again soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks for your time, Justin. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Graham Swindell, Finance Director at Clough Natural Resources, at CLNR. Graham, thanks for joining me.
Not at all. Morning, Justin.
Now, you've had some news out, and we'll cover some bits of the news in a bit. But before you do, Graham, can you explain to people not aware of Clough Natural Resources what the company is all about, please?
Sure. Well, Clough Natural Resources is an AIM-quoted company which invests in resources opportunities with a primary focus on UK-based upstream gas and oil assets. We currently hold 100% interest in two highly prospective gas licenses in the southern North Sea, and which we're currently running a farm-out process. And we've made significant progress with these licenses in the last year, culminating in an increase in our P50 prospective resources of gas from 845 BCF to 2.4 trillion cubic feet of gas.
Wow, okay. Well, do you know what? I was going to ask you the potential of these two licenses, but you just covered that. So that's excellent stuff. So you mentioned that you're looking for, you know, farm out and interest in these licenses. What sort of companies are you talking to, and what sort of deal are you looking for? For example, free carry-on drilling, or any idea of timescales for investors?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, this is a process that we started in Q1 this year, and we've had an extremely encouraging response. We're in dialogue with a number of potential farming partners that have been through the data room so far and continue to do so. The people we've spoken to have ranged from the majors right through to mid-tier operators, but It's mainly those with an existing presence in the southern North Sea. In terms of outcome and deal structure, our deal outcome naturally is a full carry to allow drilling of one or more of these licenses, which would certainly minimise dilution for our existing shareholders. Mm-hmm. We've certainly been encouraged by the response, and we're in dialogue with a number of parties, as I've said. But as I'm sure you'll understand, it's difficult to be definitive about a timescale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but can you give like I said, when discussions are going on, it's hard to say when they will conclude. But ideally, is there a sort of rough ballpark figures, months or what?
Well, as I say, we're very encouraged by the response. We're in dialogue with a number of parties, and additional parties continue to express an interest. But I can't say any more than that on a timescale.
Understand. Okay. And explain why the focus on North Sea and in particular gas.
Well, in terms of the North Sea, despite being a relatively mature basin by international standards, and some of the major oil companies looking elsewhere, we certainly believe that the North Sea still has plenty of potential for further discoveries, and certainly has a very favourable and transparent licensing regime. At the macro level, the UK also has a major issue with the lack of security of supply of gas. As we increasingly rely on the likes of Norway, Russia and Qatar for more than half of our gas. And this is increasing at an incredible rate. So that means that significant investment in exploration is going to be required. And therefore, we certainly believe that the fundamentals are strong, in particular for UK gas exploration.
OK, can you provide a little more background, Graham, on the 30th licensing round and the more flexible sort of innovate license regime you're looking to take advantage of? And are your target blocks exploration, development, appraisal, and what commitments will they come with if you are successful?
OK, well, the 30th round was launched on the 25th of July, slightly delayed because of the snap general election earlier in the year. There are over 800 blocks on offer in this round, with a large inventory of prospects and undeveloped discoveries. Our aim is to focus on blocks which are complementary to our existing portfolio, and our targets will therefore be exploration, although some will contain undeveloped discoveries. The Innovate license concept was one that was introduced by the OGA in the last year. It offers a more flexible and pragmatic approach to licensing, and allows licensees like Clough to design an optimal work programme and a more appropriate phasing of activity, rental fees, etc., than the previous more rigid licensing regime.
Okay, and you said that aside from the 30th licensing round, you're actively pursuing a number of production and appraisal investment opportunities. Are these all in the North Sea area, or they're elsewhere?
Yes, so we are pursuing a number of investment opportunities, a combination of minority stakes in producing assets and larger stakes in lower risk but higher impact appraisal projects. Certainly all are, at this stage, are UK focused, not necessarily solely in the North Sea. So we are looking at both conventional onshore gas and oil in addition to offshore opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff, Graham. Okay, well, listen, if someone's listening to this right now and they like the space you're in and what you're about, Graham, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Well, firstly, it's the quality of our assets. We have two highly prospective, 100% owned licenses with a large prospective resource base in an established gas basin with a relatively low-cost operating environment. Secondly, we've got no debt or onerous work commitments. And thirdly, we have a very focused strategy to diversify our portfolio of assets, both organically through the next licensing round and through acquisition.
Excellent, Graham. Good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, I've got to say, looking now, scanning through quickly, I can't see two of the most popular stocks of late in there. At five, Frontera Resources, FRR. At 4, Extract Resources, XTR. At 3, Powerhouse Energy. Yesterday, Keith was on the podcast, PHE. Worth doing some research on that company. Cutting edge, disruptive waste to energy technology there. At 2, Horizonte Minerals, HZM. I wrote a blog about those on the weekend. Also worth doing some research into. Listen, I say this because, nothing is investment advice, just information. There's obviously lots of companies that's mentioned on this podcast that are worth researching. It's just some of them I haven't researched, that's all. I can't research all, say, 1,000 companies on AIM, plus more on the bigger leagues. So, some of them I've overlooked or not looked at them closely. But the most followed company on the platform in the last 24 hours is Vast Resources, VAST, and rising strongly as I looked at data. So look, it was up about 20-odd percent, I think, on the RNS today. Let's have a look. Yeah, in fact, 20% exactly as I look at the moment. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours were at 5, late yesterday afternoon, Metal Tiger sneaking in there, number 5, MTR. That's MOD Resource Investment Update. At 4, number 1 most followed company, Vast Resources, update on beta play license to mine. At 3, Highlands Natural Resources, H&R, drilling completed at First Denver Well, or East Denver Well there. Number 2, hopefully getting Paul, managing director, on the podcast very soon, Berkeley Energia, BKY. Barclays signed $120 million strategic investment. And number one most liked RNS was from Motive Buyer Amphemium Innovations. That was Holdings Inc. Company. I think they've sold AMP, who's Amphion, sorry, Innovations. Have sold some stock in Motive Buyer to satisfy a loan, I think that was. But a lot of people like that. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.